email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Irish Fairy Folk is a new book by John Farrelly, and John has come down from Newry Direction to talk to us today. How are you doing, John?
Grand, thanks, Ray.
First of all, for a man who writes books, your spelling is atrocious. Fairy.
Fairy, yeah, that's like a more archaic version.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah, it is.
F-A-E-R-I-E,
yeah.
As opposed to F-A-I-R-Y.
Yeah, that's right. The more modern sort of spelling.
Okay. You're a man full of stories. And will we talk to you about your own story first before we get to the book?
Sure.
Right. So you're 54.
54, yes.
Illustrator and writer.
Yeah, I would call myself a cartoonist primarily. I do, as a sort of a day-to-day job, as caricature artist.
Right.
Stuff like that, you know.
So looking at me now, if you're doing a caricature
don't
of me...
Don't put me under pressure now.
No, the reason I asked that, there was a guy who used to do caricatures on a show down here called Hall's Victoria Weekly.
Okay.
Can't remember his name. Somebody that'll get me his name. And we had him as a guest on a show, and I said to him, if you're doing a caricature of me, what would you do? He said, well, the first thing I'd do is I'd have your right ear sticking out more than your left ear. Now, I was in my 30s at the time, and I'd never realised that my right ear stuck out more.
So I hadn't noticed. So much for me. I know, you've got headphones on, yeah, right. Yeah. Did that make you paranoid then?
It did, yes, yeah. So that's the only thing I see now when I look in the mirror. Anyway, so you're a caricaturist, and you have Captain Wonder as well, and then you do a sideline in historical books.
Yeah.
And this is sort of an offshoot of that.
Yeah.
So you were brought up near Newry, or?
Yeah, I was brought up in a village called Killian, which was quite near the border.
Right.
My primary school was a couple of hundred yards away from the north-south border, South Armagh.
So you were there for the troubles.
I was indeed, yeah. 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 But it's sort of when you're a kid, when you grow up with it, you kind of don't really... You know, when you grow up with something, it's like it's exciting. You know, you see the helicopter used to land in the field opposite my grandmother's house. That seemed to be one of their landing spots. And of course, it was, you know, you'd hear it coming,
yes.
You know, the helicopter,
yeah.
And then all the soldiers jumping out. And then, you know, sure, I loved all that sort of stuff. You know, I was mad into.
So there's no fear or anything or a sense
not
of
really, no.
Foreboding, no?
No, no. I would have felt the previous generation, my parents and aunties and uncles and all, they didn't. You know, they weren't born into it.
Aha, so they came from peace into this.
Exactly, yes. So it must have been a much bigger shock for them than it was for me. Now, when you grow up into it, I mean, I couldn't do it now, but growing up in it, yeah, no bother.
And you mentioned your mother there, she died when you were very young.
Yeah, she died of multiple sclerosis when I was 4.
Right.
And my dad died when I was 8. So, yeah.
And you have older sisters?
3 older sisters, yeah.
And what age were they then when you were orphaned?
The eldest sister, she was just about to turn 16, so she was legally able to mind us. But we had a good support network, you know, my grandmother and aunts and uncles and stuff all around. So it was a good extended family, you know. Yeah, it was tough enough.
And was the word orphan used to describe you? Can you remember? Was it used?
Yeah, of course. But you know, that to me that was brilliant, because like think of 2 comic book heroes who are orphans: Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. Even as an orphan, really, like, you know, okay. You know what I mean?
You thought I've arrived?
Yeah, it goes. Hey, it's you know, it's my you know, maybe I'm going to become a superhero. I get into drawing them instead. So.
Yeah, and you have a lovely memory of your dad.
Yeah.
Was he a drawer as well?
Yeah, well, he was a brickie
by
trade. You know, he's sort of living through that whole era that we just talked about. But yeah, his favourite comic strip was Andy Capp. He was mad. He loved the comics. He bought that. That's how I got into comics. You know, he would come home on a Saturday with a rake of comics. But I think my sister still has a chair that he drew on the bottom of. Drew a cartoon of Andy Capp on the bottom of.
Right.
Why a chair? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I had up until, I can't remember, I've lost it, but a drawing he did of a dragon. It was great. It was like a pen and ink drawing of a dragon. So yeah, he was a pretty good artist himself, yeah. Seems to run in the family.
But it often happens, doesn't it, that a hobby that a parent has becomes the career of their children.
Does it? I don't know.
No, I've seen that lots of
right.
times. I suppose it's because the parent imbues this passion into their child. And
maybe
then,
so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't have got much time to himself, really, to do, you know, with working 5 days a week or whatever, you know, so.
And he showed you, because we all laughed when it was mentioned, that sort of skewed V that becomes a bird.
Yeah, the V's. I remember him showing me, I must have been 5 or 6 maybe when he showed me that, like, V's in the sky, and they were birds. And
yes.
Then, you know, he showed me how to draw a set of steps, you know, going like that.
Up, oh,
you know, like that, like in perspective.
Yes.
Sure, to me it was like magic, you know. So that sort of got me into, you know, because looking at him going, wow, that's magic. And it really is. It is like a form of magic nearly, where you're creating something out of nothing, and, you know, you're trying to make a 2D.
Yeah, into what looks like 3D.
Yeah.
So using shading and perspective and all those tricks.
All the tricks, yeah. Yeah.
So you were brought up by your granny then from the age
of
8?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, my 3 sisters. My granny lived at number 13 and my sisters lived at number 10. So
uh-huh.
I was sort of between the two houses, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So in Killian, I stayed there and I lived there pretty much till I was 19 or so. And then just went and did the young man thing, you know, the tarot fool going off looking for adventure.
Did you find it?
Well, you know, adventure is probably too strong a word, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I went to Liverpool Art College and stuff.
Right, you know, right, yeah.
Yeah, loved Liverpool. It was a great city.
And the aim was always to find a career in art.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was that. When I was a kid, I wanted to be either an astronaut or a cartoonist. So I guess look what won out. Haven't got the physique for the astronaut.
And early on, you found out you weren't going to be a superhero. Despite
early
the fact
on,
you're
yeah,
off,
yeah, yeah, I didn't get bitten by any radioactive animals at all, you know.
So you've written history books for children on the Normans, the Celts, and another
Vikings.
The Vikings,
yeah, that was the first one. The Vikings,
right.
In order of writing, there were the Vikings, the Celts, and then the Normans. Though that's not chronological, but O'Brien, right. They're from the O'Brien Press. Yeah, Deadly Irish History,
which is inspired by the one across the water, I would imagine.
Yeah, you're not supposed to mention
that. No, I know. I haven't.
Yeah, but it is. It draws inevitable.
Yes. And this is with O'Brien Press as well.
It's
Farrelly's Field Guide to Irish Fairy Folk, John Farrelly, compiled from notes of Fantasius.
Yeah, Fantasius. Yeah, it's an old Irish name.
Right.
Farrelly.
And he was a relation of yours?
Great granduncle.
Right.
Which is my grandfather's uncle.
Right.
So, yeah.
And tell us about him.
I only met him once, so it's all hearsay, you know. So I met him when I was very little, and I have something that he taught me that day that I still remember to this day, you know. So it sort of stayed with me.
What's that?
It was the longest place name in the world. He was visiting New Zealand, and I think it was 1938, and it was a place in New Zealand called Tamatwa Katani Hani Kuiyuyu Tayamaraturi Papaka Kikimanga Haranuka Pakawakawami and Atahu.
That's easy for you to say.
And then I subsequently found out there's a bit added on to that at the end, so it became Tamatwa Katani Hani Kuiyuyu Tayamaraturi Papaka Kikimanga Haranuka Pakawakawami and Atahu Amarahu Atanahu Akari Miki Tura.
I recognise that from somewhere.
It's actually at the start of a song as well. Modern 80s song. Fred, do you remember? There was a song called
Quantum Jump.
Quantum Jump. I can never remember if it's Quantum Jump or Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap was the TV
show.
Program, yes.
Right.
Men of a certain age.
So that was the Lone Ranger. It was
yes.
at the start of the Lone Ranger
yes,
song.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's right. Well remembered, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, can you spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Give me a minute.
So he was an interesting man.
Yeah. Well, the only memory I have of him is just, you know, a big bushy beard and bright eyes. He was 106 when he died.
Right.
So, but I only met him the once, as I say. And
he was, like, because loads of, like, I'm from a certain age,
yeah.
So I would have went to a man, you know, a diviner. I had an allergy, and I went to a man, travelled to his house, 30
right.
or 40 miles away.
Right.
And he had a folder listing all the things that we encounter in day-to-day life.
Like ailments?
And he held it, no, like soap or eggs or bacon
or
whatever.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
And he held a plumb line over it.
Right.
And he held my hand.
Right.
And as he moved the plumb line down through the list, if it waved from side to side, he told me I was allergic to it.
And did it turn out you were allergic to it or not, to the stuff that he said? Have you been avoiding stuff for all this time by any chance?
Well, you see, I've been to doctors and...
Did you give him any money?
I did give him money on the way out. Did you?
So are you allergic to anything then, on that list?
I had two lovely eggs, four eggs actually over the weekend, so I'm not allergic to them. But he told me I was allergic to eggs.
Oh dear.
Right. And shampoo. Okay. So I don't need that anyway. So that's fine. So was he a seventh son of a seventh son? Or
Yeah, he was apparently.
Right.
And that apparently gives you these... there was other things as well. He had this thing called Morton's toe, which is where your second toe's longer than your big toe.
Right.
And his were apparently like really long.
That's the thing, is it?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he died at 106, and this is because there's a lot of coincidences here. So you were,
yeah,
there was a bungalow or a cottage. It wouldn't be a bungalow, it would have been a cottage.
Yeah, just a cottage. Yeah. I suppose what you would describe as a bungalow now.
Yes, and you were asked to clear it out.
Yeah, my uncle Kevin, asked me to clear it out with him. Well, I was the only one that turned up. So we cleared out. It was my uncle, great granduncle Fantasia's cottage, and we cleared it out in it sort of an afternoon, or there wasn't much value in it, but Kevin gave me a box full of this stuff.
What stuff?
Well, he said, you're an artist, you'll probably like this, and give me this box full of, I suppose, notebooks and just paper and stuff. And it smelled really bad. You know, damp and cat pee, probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it smelled bad. So I said, all right, gee, thanks. And sort of put it in my garage and never thought about it again. And then I came across it a few years ago. And I was sat in the garage for ages just looking at these pictures that he had drawn, like, and they were dated between the late 1800s and the 1960s,
right,
something like that. So yeah, he had all these, this stuff. It was really spidery handwriting as well, you know, the sort of old fashioned kind of
calligraphy, nearly
calligraphy. Yeah. But it was the pictures really that's, I suppose, jumped out at me. They didn't look of their time, if you know what I mean. They looked sort of far ahead, you know, like sort of very realistic looking. So those are the drawings that are in this book.
Like something from a graphic novel?
Kind of, yeah. I studied art, you know, a wee bit of art, and like I always describe, like Caravaggio would have, if he was alive today, he'd be a comic artist, or the guy that did Dante's Inferno.
Will he not have been a photographer?
No, he probably would have, yeah. Just cut out the main, just cut out the middle bit, yeah. But their sense of, you know, their sense of drama and all that sort of stuff, you know.
So this is like a catalogue of fairies.
This is
what Fantasius Farrelly had gotten that box.
Yeah, and all I really did was just sort of put it into some kind of order.
Yeah.
And
they're all the greats are there, the banshees and the leprechauns and the Amadons.
Yeah, I hadn't actually heard of the Amadon before.
Had you not?
No.
In Egypt? Yeah.
No, I wasn't really. I only got into the fairies because of this.
Right.
Kind of this thing, you know, I'd be sceptical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I was.
So I'm inclined to believe that fairies dwell in a realm that exists slightly out of step with their own.
Yeah. That's from the, is that from the introduction, is it?
Yes, by Fantasius Farrelly.
Yeah, and they've been around for much longer than mankind. Yeah.
And like you're quoting, you know, there's footnotes there. Douglas Hyde, first president of Ireland. W.B. Yeates, one of our great poets.
Yeah, Lobby Yeats in there.
Both of them wrote on fairies.
And, oh yeah, extensively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, probably the most famous fairy is only a recent arrival, the leprechaun.
Yeah, I was surprised to find that out as well, yeah. I'd always just assumed they were
there forever.
You know what I mean? But apparently, first mention of it was in medieval times?
Yes.
Which isn't that long ago, really. And they reckon they came, well, there's a possibility. W.B. Yeats said that the Vikings used the leprechauns to mine their gold.
Right.
So it's possible they came over from Scandinavia, who knows?
It's a fascinating book. And isn't it brilliant that you were there and Kevin gave you the box? And now we can all read the work and the fact-finding of Fantasius Farrelly.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually his name.
Yeah, I know. It's apparently an old Irish name meaning battle or something like that, although I couldn't really find anything.
Right.
Battle, apparently.
Yeah. And you did meet him?
Met him once.
Right.
So, as I say, he taught me to say that. I'll not say it again.
No.
We've only got a certain amount of our time.
Well, listen, a lot of these books pass my desk, and this is one of the best. Because so fair dues to you and Fantasias, because there's a sense of humour about it, there's an intelligence about it, there's a, dare I say, a tongue-in-cheekness about it.
Oh, there is, yeah. Yes, I think anything to do with the fairies, you have to have a bit of a, you know, tongue-in-cheek.
John Farley, Irish Fairies Folk, and it's fairy spelled F-A-E-R-I-E, if you're looking in your local bookshop.
Yep, Irish Fairy Folk.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for
that chat.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.